Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning. Young people, you need to get your hymn books out and ready because you got parts to read, remember? Number 206, page 206, our call to worship. This will be the last time for this particular call to worship. We'll have a new one next month, starting next Sunday. Page 206, and there are two phrases there for youth and children, so you guys got to be ready to go this time, okay? 206. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Thank you, Colin. Let's try that again, okay? All right, okay? Ready? Youth and children, ready? Go. Four. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. Everybody, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Page 530 on this song, at least on the first page, I lead off and you guys answer me back, all right? I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. Do that again. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and bless the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and bless the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and bless the God of my salvation be exalted. And blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. From the beginning, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and bless the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and bless the God of my salvation be exalted. Amen. Page number 304. Behold the Lamb. Pray. 296. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with heart full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord, my God. Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with heart full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord, my God, glory to the King of Kings. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with heart full of praise. Be exalted, Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest. And page number 514, be standing as we sing. I love to praise Him, I love to praise Him, and lift up His holy name. My Lord, we exalt Him on high. Oh, I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him and lift up His holy name. Singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. My Lord, we exalt Him on high. Oh, I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him. And lift up His heart one more time. Singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. My Lord, we exalt Him on high. Oh, I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him. And lift up His holy name. And lift up His holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, it goes without saying, but we want to say Alina is facing serious cancer surgery on March the 5th, all right? And just so that everybody knows the need, there is financial issues, right? Okay, so that's a financial need that Alina has. A 17-year-old facing cancer surgery, okay? So if anybody would feel led to contribute to that specific need, give the money to Denise, she would see that that's handled and taken care of, okay? But there's going to be a 4 or 5 week daycare need while she recovers from this cancer surgery, okay? So the surgery is March the 5th, a couple weeks out, so be thinking about her, if anybody can contribute financially to that need, as well as, of course, prayer for Alina and her health. I want to thank everybody for the contributions and the fellowship yesterday to our sweetheart breakfast. It was a great time here. Are there any others you'd like, any other requests you'd like to mention? Remember those that we've talked about in Sunday school, and those certainly, you know, Ted's family having lost a brother last week. Any others? Any others? If not, then have a show of hands for any unspoken requests you would have as we go to Heavenly Father in prayer. Lord, we're grateful we could be here today. We thank you, Lord, for the mild temperatures over the last couple of days and ability to enjoy a little bit of warmth. But Lord, whatever the temperature outside, we know that inside, Lord, not only the physical temperature, but the fellowship that we share and the warmth amongst each other is greatly appreciated as well. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, for being in our midst as your word has promised us. We ask a special prayer for Alina, and as she goes undergoes cancer surgery. It's not something we normally associate with a 17-year-old, and certainly, Lord, let her know that she is in our prayers. As we continue on the service this morning, we ask to be with us, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the praises that have already been offered, and we look forward to what you have in store for us through the furtherance of the service today. Be with us, Lord, in all that we say and do this week. Forgive us where we fall short, and we give you all the praise as we ask these things in our precious name. Amen. Before we sing the next hymn, so that we can dismiss the junior worship, Alexa has a special music this morning, and so I've asked her to come up here. Okay, right here. Are you ready to sing?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell everybody what you're going to sing.
You're my all in all.
Okay.
You're my strength when I am weak. You're the treasure that I seek. You're my all in all. Seeking you down I pass the shore. Lord, you give the beautiful. You're my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Taking your sin across the shame, rising again, it bless your name. You're my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I'm dry, you fill my cup. You're my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
And while everybody else then turns to page number 601, the junior Sunday school dismissed, junior worship dismissed to go downstairs. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust in and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes.
my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. My answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Amen. For announcements, we haven't been able to do it in a while because we had the Christmas program and then we had snow. But tonight, well, might be a little snow later, but 6 o'clock choir practice, 7 o'clock prayer and praise service. So we encourage you to come out this evening at 6 o'clock or at 7 or both for a time in the Lord this evening here at the church that will be tonight. We had decided that the hot chocolate is so popular, at least until the weather warms up. We'll probably continue that for another month. The proceeds, again, going towards orphans. Compassion International has a deal. That's where the money will go. So the same outfit that does the Operation Christmas Child boxes. Okay. So we will continue that. And Darren got mine. If he hit his goal, first off, he said he'd drink hot sauce if we hit his goal. And I kind of talked him out of that. And he wants to eat a whipped cream pie with no hands. That's what he wants to do if we meet his goal, you know. So he wants to do it today, you know. I said, no, I'm not ready for that today, you know. So anyway, but that will take place here at some point. But he is so, he said this morning, you know, he asked Rhonda, how many orphans will this money feed? Yeah, he's just so in tune to, has a heart for orphan children. So, Russell, your Facebook post with the picture of them serving was fabulous. Never. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, as we continue on with announcements, though, keep in mind that the ladies' meeting you see in the bullets for March the 4th will be March the 11th. Okay. The ladies' meeting will be March the 11th, and do not forget our spring revival meeting is coming up at the end of the month, the end of March actually. But that's Sunday night, March the 30th. Tim's band will be providing the music for the 8th or 9th year in a row for our kickoff for our revival. It's a 6 o'clock service with refreshments following. Yeah, we should have at least this many people. It seems like we just, you know, never. I said last week, I said what we probably need to do is sell tickets. You know, because we sell tickets. You know, you give some a great, people pay $11 for a movie and double that for popcorn, you know. But you give them a free concert and you can't get them to come out. It just boggles the mind. But anyway, we're not going to sell tickets. But we would just encourage you to invite people to come so that they can enjoy the ministry of the Scott Day Tim's band. So, any other announcements we need to make? If not, then I'll ask our ushers to come forward and collect our morning offering. Thank you. offerings that have been lifted. We ask your blessing upon them. Help us to use them for the uplifting of thy kingdom according to thy will. Bless each and every gift, both the gift and the giver, and no matter how large or small. In thy name we pray. Amen. Do we have any birthdays today? Any birthdays? Okay.
As well as my neighbor Paul was the other day.
Okay. And little sister, older sister, what do you got?
Yeah, little sister.
Little sister, okay.
Wow.
Oh.
She's going back to college today.
Anybody else? Okay. Rose, would you introduce who you have with you here today? Nice to have it. Don't you love when she calls you Marky? Yeah, I love you. Yeah. All my relatives aren't Robbie, you know, so I know exactly where you're at. You know. Nice to have you with us. Mark and Mandy are getting married in early June, so we wish them the best. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Moses this morning. Very famous character in the Old Testament. We're in the midst, matter of fact, our adult Sunday school classes in the midst of the Exodus. We just went through the Red Sea last week. So Moses is a very familiar character to a lot of people. If you were to tell your thing that Moses is most famous for, the little kids, they probably going to tell you about the baby in the bulrushes, how he was fetched out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter. They get a little bit older, they'll talk about the Red Sea. They would talk about how the children of Israel needed water, so God told them to strike the rock with the staff, and he did, and the water came out. There's a lot of things, that's just a small part of the life of Moses, but one of the things that would be way down the list, yet something he spent the greatest part of his life, the greatest part of the prime of his life doing, was a shepherd for 40 years. He was out in the wilderness after being banished from the land of Egypt for 40 years. He was a shepherd and then suffered what could be called the ultimate midlife crisis. Now, backing up a little bit, Moses was comfortably settled in a high position in Pharaoh's kingdom. Again, probably about 40 years old. Though not by birth, he was the grandson of the Pharaoh. One day, he went out into the fields where the children of Israel served as slave laborers. And you have to wonder what it is that motivated him to go out there. Did he look a little? Did he know? He must have known that he wasn't Egyptian by birth. And he must have known, most would ignore, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen gives what I call Old Testament 101. In one chapter, standing before the scholars and leaders of that time, gives a capsule of the entire history of the Old Testament. Does it in one chapter. But he says in Acts chapter 7, that Moses went to visit his brothers. Okay? And not brothers by birth, but brothers as his people. Went out to visit his people. And while out there, he observed an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave. And after looking around, verse 12 is very clear about that in Exodus chapter 2. After looking around and seeing that nobody was looking, he killed the Egyptians, hid the body. Now, Acts chapter 7, again in verse 25, says, again, this is Stephen's account, but it said, Moses thought the slaves would be grateful and was surprised when they didn't seem to be. Because the next day when he went out again, he observed two Hebrews fighting and intervened. And he scolded them. But one of them replied in verse 14, "So what, you come out, you're going to kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday?" Moses didn't think anybody knew. But they did. Point number one. Moses was pretty sure when he intervened and killed that Egyptian taskmaster that nobody saw. Point number one. Moses thought nobody was looking. Somebody, even if it's only God, but somebody is always looking. So, word got around. Pharaoh found out, and he ordered Moses executed. Now, they took, and word got to Moses about the order, and Moses hightailed it out of there. Now, that's not the movie version. The movie version, a guy takes Moses out in the chariot and dumps him off in the middle of the desert. All right, but that's the movie version. All right, Pharaoh wanted Moses executed. And you have to wonder about that. Yeah, did Pharaoh really ever accept Moses? Did he maybe become jealous of the authority that Moses had built up over the years, the respect that he had amongst the other Egyptians? Was he looking for the first time Moses stumbled to get rid of him? Maybe so. People are looking. There's somebody looking at you to stumble. Just can't wait. You know, that's why we have to be on our guard. So Moses did go into hiding in the land of Midian, and he came upon a well, sat down for a rest. The priest of Midian, whose name was Jethro, or Reuel, two names there, had sent his seven daughters to the well to get water for the flocks. Poor old Jethro couldn't get a son. You know, seven girls. You know, so, but he sent them to get the water. Now, when they went to get the water, other shepherds came, chased the girls away, so they get water first. But again, in Exodus chapter 2, when we're getting through the story there, Moses came to their aid. In verse 18, Jethro, the girls come back with the water, and they say, "What, so quick? How'd you get back here so quick?" He knew the drill. He knew that the practices of the day, the girls would have to wait to get the water. So they told how Moses had intervened on their behalf. And the funny thing is, Jethro says, "What? Where is he? You didn't bring him with you? You know? I mean, that's the least we could do is provide a meal for him, for looking out for you." And so they went and found him, brought him for supper. Moses stayed for 40 years. Married one of the girls, bore two sons. So for 40 years, Moses lived a simple, stable, no-risk existence. You know? I mean, what's the worst thing that happened? I mean, you think word didn't get around all the other shepherds? Hey, don't mess with Moses. Okay? You know? So, yeah, he just, what's the biggest thing he had to deal with? A stray wolf? I mean, you know, he just did his job. I'm sure very successful. Jethro is thrilled that he's got somebody to take on this duty. So here we are. Point number two. God did not want that stable, no-risk existence for Moses. And he doesn't want us from us either. So easy just to go from day to day, not taking any chances, not ruffling any feathers, keeping our entire life neatly tucked into the four corners of our own comfort zone. But then you step out and find out that, yeah, I can make that drive to Findlay, Ohio. I could pick up that musical instrument that I haven't played in years, Peggy. Did I say it? I didn't say it. Sorry. Still working on Peggy and the trombone. pick up the phone, invite somebody to church. Debbie will have flyers for revival. And David challenged us a year or so ago. He said, look, I'm going to take 5 of these and mail them out. And what happened when David stepped out and did it? What happened that morning, David? Others came up and grabbed 5 of them. Yes, okay. All right, so you have a, you know, can you get any simpler than that, dropping a flyer in the mail? You know, but just a simple act challenged other people to step out of their comfort zone and do the same thing. Despite your time constraints, you can help with the Bible quiz team. You can join the ladies group. You take the lead part in the play, can't you, Steve? Remember that? Yeah. You know, just a lot of things. And Debbie Ballantyne, I couldn't do it, but you did. What is it that I cannot do that Debbie can do? Now, not ski. Going back too long. What is it? What is it that you can do that I can't? I've made no secrets about this. Play the guitar. Yeah, my wife got me one for Christmas 5 or 6 years ago. Because she seems to think that because I can do other music stuff, I should be able to play the guitar. I said, all right. I told her I couldn't. All right. So I got the book, and I plucked it. My fingers got so daggone sore. And I figured, I asked her, so what, you think I need another lesson in humility? You know, I can't. It's sitting at home. I cannot play the guitar. You know. So, but Debbie can. Okay. So I've been doing it for a couple years and does very well. We got to take a chance sometimes. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want that simple existence. He wants us to step out and take a chance. So you probably know what happened to Moses next. Most of the things that Moses is famous for haven't happened yet. Now, obviously, the baby in the bulrushes, that happened near his birth. But everything else, all the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, you know, when you read that scripture and see just how marvelous that is, what happened, and how scripture itself refutes what people tend to pass off as, well, you know, it was up at the end where the water isn't very deep. You read the scriptures. The scriptures tell you that the water rose up on either side. You know, just an amazing. I shared this with my Sunday school class, but it points to just how amazing that story is. The little boy came home from Sunday school one day, and the mother asked, what did they teach you today? He said, oh, Mom, it was great. He said, Moses was up against the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was coming. Oh, yeah? What happened next? Well, Moses had the Corps of Engineers build a pontoon bridge. And the children of Israel went across the pontoon bridge. And when the Egyptians tried to follow, he got on the walkie-talkie and called the Air Force, and they come and bombed the bridge, and all the Egyptians were killed in the sea. Mother says, are you sure that's what they said? He says, well, no, but if I told you what they said, you'd never believe it. Yeah, it's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. But again, that hadn't happened yet. That has not happened yet. All the things that Moses is famous for haven't happened yet. And they would not have happened had Moses not answered God's call. And point number 3, what great accomplishments are we missing out on because we are not willing to answer his call? It's like missing the piece of an important assembly up at the town restaurant in Woodsboro. Trout's restaurant, in the men's room, and they got a lot of patriotic stuff all over the place up there. Everything's red, white, and blue. But in the men's room is a jigsaw puzzle made into a picture with one piece missing. And when you look at that beautiful patriotic picture, what do you see? You see the missing piece. That's what sticks out. And are you the missing piece? Are you the missing piece that's completing, that will complete that picture? Now, we all know how God spoke to Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 4 says that the voice of God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. Verse 5 tells us that God told Moses to take off his shoes, for he was standing on holy ground. So the message to Moses was very clear. In verse 8, God tells him what he wants to accomplish. In verse 10, he tells him very clearly who it is that's going to accomplish that. So we might all ourselves ask the question, geez, why can't God, where's my burning bush? You know, where's my burning bush? Why can't God just make himself clear like he did to Moses that day? And my response to that would simply be, does he really have to? Does he really have to? Aren't the scriptures clear enough? Do we need to be hit over with a hammer? Or struck by a lightning bolt? Or even hear God in a burning bush to know that there are people out there that need Jesus in their life, and we are the ones that need to provide it? Make this real simple this morning. 3 points. The first one was just like Moses found out amongst the Hebrew slaves, somebody's always watching. Somebody's always watching. You know, that's not a bad thing. Because God, all, you know, anybody here, anybody have an elf on the shelf for Christmas time? You know what I'm talking about, the elf on the shelf? It's this little thing, this little figure that you sit in the house and you tell the kids that the elf is watching and reports to Santa. Okay? And you tell him that the elf sees it, but the elf also sees the good stuff. Okay? So the fact that somebody is always watching is a good thing. The fact that all the good stuff that we do that sometimes seems unnoticed, God knows. God knows. Okay? Number two, with God's help, we've got to be willing to take a risk once in a while. You've got to be willing to take a risk. Reverend Paul Cordell said, the turtle never gets anywhere until he first, what? Sticks his neck out. Okay? The turtle never gets anywhere until he sticks his neck out. And that's what we have to do sometimes if we're going to get anywhere. And lastly, don't be the missing piece, because it might be the most important one. I want you to remember this. And it's not original. I stole it at the United Methodist Church yesterday at the Cub Scout Blue and Gold Banquet. I saw it on a bulletin board. God has a purpose for you. Put that purpose into practice. God has a purpose for you. Put that purpose into practice. Let's bow our heads. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, it's so good to be here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the story of Moses and what we can learn from it. And help us, Lord, to know that just like you had a plan for Moses, you have a plan for us. And Lord, until we take that step and put that plan into practice, we don't know. It might be just as powerful as what you had Moses do, but we'll never know. We'll never know unless we do it. Lord, help us to know that we were created for a purpose, for a reason, and to do our best to fulfill it. In thy name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to turn your hymn books to page number 609. Page number 609. We'll sing all five verses of No, Not One. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else can heal all our soul diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide them the day. Yeah. thank you can be here today. Help us, Lord, to realize that you are the one. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. The one who offers us the gift of eternal life. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.